Welcome to the 10K a Day Dentist, the podcast that breaks the speed limit called average. This is a fast lane where dentists go to get there quickly. Now here's your host, the 10K a Day Dentist, Dr. Bill Williams.
Hello, this is Dr. Bill Williams. We're on the 10K a Day Dentist podcast, and we have with us today Dr. Barbara Hales, a medical physician and a professional copywriter. She's combined both of her talents into one particular career. At this point, she is 30 years a professional in the healthcare field, and she is uniquely qualified as a writer in medical and health market. She served as CEO of The Right Treatment and the medical strategist. Her services include editorials and case studies, newsletters, white papers, web content, and patient guides, to name a few. Barbara maintains a health focus and wellness focus with web and content marketing to showcase quality services and products. In fact, Barbara's clients have been saying about her, if it's captivating, benefit-driven copy you need, Barbara will provide it. She combines professional knowledge with a unique conversational tone to write excellent promotions. I met Barbara in San Diego, and I can attest to the fact that she's got a way with words. She's a best-selling author. She's been inducted into the National Academy of Best-Selling Authors after releasing her books, Content Copy Made Easy and Power to the Patient, The Medical Strategist. She's got a number of media appearances on The Brian Tracy Show, ABC, NBC, Fox affiliates across the country. She's been featured in Newsweek. She's a frequent speaker at major events like the Success Live event in Orlando, Florida. She's got an MD degree from Rosalind Franklin University Medical School in Chicago, and she is, in 2010, been named the Professional of the Year representing the medical copywriting industry. So welcome to the 10K a Day Dentist podcast. This is going to be exciting. I want to hear exactly why you went from medical practice into copywriting and what unique position that puts you in to serve the medical profession.
Thanks for having me, Bill. Transitioning from being a physician to being a content marketer was an easy one for me because I took my practice from no patients at all to 10,000 active patients, so I know what works and what doesn't. But what I noticed is that most physicians were not marketing themselves. If you ask them, they say, I don't know how, I don't have the time, or isn't marketing unethical? But the fact of the matter is, marketing is telling people where you're located and what services you provide. Can you imagine saying, I have an office, but I'm not telling you where, you're going to have to guess? Or, this is where my office is, but I'm not telling you what services I provide? Of course not. That's silly. So if you tell potential patients that information, guess what? You're marketing. Now it's just a question of doing it most effectively.
Well, tell me, you're going to focus most of your work in your practice on medical offices, but how is a medical office and a dental office similar in their marketing needs?
Well, in terms of marketing, both dentists and doctors need to market themselves equally, and a lot of the techniques for medical marketing are the same as those for dental marketing. If you have your own office and your own business, then you need to promote yourself and your services. The main thing is to not only have visibility, so when people are looking for a dentist as well as a doctor, they know where to find you and where you're located, and also to show that you have authority in your field. People don't want just any old dentist. They want the dentist, the one with the best skills, bedside manner, and has the knowledge and skill to take care of their problems and provide solutions to the problems that they're struggling with.
And you don't ever know what people are thinking about you until you listen in to the buzz going across the internet. So I know that you're an expert in social media and you know a lot about how to dig out the facts now. Tell us about eavesdropping. How do we find out what's been said about us?
Well, If only you could be a fly on the wall to see what people are tweeting or even saying about you and your business. There's a tool on Twitter called Advanced Search. What you see when you enter is putting in keywords to view tweets that people are posting in relationship to you and these keywords. By getting this information, you have an idea about what is trending, what people are interested in, and what is relevant to your market. You can also register for Google Alert. Then anytime you are mentioned online, regardless of whether it is in any of the social media sites or even other forums or chat rooms, blog posts, articles, Google lets you know that people are talking about you and where you're located. The reason why this is really important is because if it is negative, you can do damage control immediately.
That's a beautiful technique. You know, I did that with Google maybe 10 years ago. I put on a conference called the Top Gun Conference, and I put in Google Top Gun Conference. And so even today, I get notices when anybody writes something about a Top Gun conference. And it turns out there must be a lot of people putting on conferences related to Top Gun Conference. The word is not just unique to my conference. So that's good information. And I hope everybody's listening that understands that a dental office can spy on their neighbors. You can know what people are saying about the neighbors. You can know what they're saying about you. You can see where your competition is. So it's not just the keywords that are about your office, but you can study what people are thinking about the competition.
Well, Bill, it goes further than that, because nowadays patients don't make appointments with new dentists or doctors without checking them out first. They're going online to the various rating service sites to see exactly whether they have several stars, only one star, no stars, whether there is positive reviews or no reviews. Studies show that 88% of users trust online reviews as much or more than the recommendations they get by friends and family.
Yeah, this online reputation is probably the biggest screening device that we have going right now.
It sure is. So it's a question of, you know, going ahead and being proactive to manage your online reputation. Because if you're vying for patients in the dental field or in any other specialty, the one with the stellar reviews are going to get the business. If that's not you, the number of patients on your schedule could plummet overnight, and that's not a pretty sight.
Can you tell us what would be some of the major online reputation or review sites right now?
Well, the ones that most people use would be vitals.com, HealthGrades, Yelp, WebMD, RateMDs, and ZocDoc, although there are many others.
There are many others. I know 12 or 15 years ago, I started putting myself out there online. I was a webmaster back in 1997. So, you know, I looked for things to put my URLs on and to get rated. And I know that they changed over the last decade or two. We haven't been consistently seeing the same ones stay there. They have some that rise and some fall. Some of them are not populated, but like our name is on there, but nothing is populated in there by the practices. How do you get the doctors to go to the review sites and fill them out? Because there are a lot of these review sites that are not filled out. They don't have the proper information about the practice. And so they're sitting there with very little information. And so people think you're not active. So I noticed that a lot of these sites are kind of like created anonymously, and you have to claim the site before you can actually have somebody go and rate you with any significance.
Well, I think that you're really onto something there, Bill, because nobody is going to make an appointment to see you if they don't know about you. They're going online to see what reviews you have, and if you have no reviews, they're just going to move on to the next person that has a better reputation.
That's particularly true in dentistry. You know, some of the things you mentioned for physicians, HealthGrades and others, they don't have a very solid dental connection. And so I see a lot of dentists who have a totally blank recommendation and information form filled out to, you know, just all it is a name and an address. Doesn't even have a phone number.
Yeah, it's really crucial. Obviously, if people don't have your telephone number, they're not going to call you. It's as simple as that. So what you need to do really is to go on all of the major sites and put in the information that pertains to you. Not only the particulars such as the address and telephone number, but also to use the maps so that people could get a good idea of exactly where you're located. You want to also add the services that you provide, because not every dentist is equivalent. Some people do orthodontics, some do periodontistry, some people do implants. So whatever it is that you're providing, you would want the public to know about that, because if that's the service they're looking for and you provide it, you stand a better chance of getting that patient.
Exactly. What's your best recommendation for getting a patient to go and fill out? Can you stimulate patients to go out and fill out the reputation management review sites?
Oh, absolutely. If you have a negative review, that's especially important, because while you can't take a negative review off, you certainly can dilute it. So what you do is you target your best patients, and just like a referral and loyalty program that you may already have implemented in your office, encourage them to post reviews. Don't coerce them, but rather provide your loyal patients with easy to understand written instructions on how to rate you online. And many glowing reports will drown out any negativity. What you can do is ask them to go onto the site that you're interested in getting the review from, telling them what the URL is, and then asking them to fill it out in an honest way. And most patients, if they're happy with your services, will be only too happy to do it. The thing is also, though, you want to ask them right after they've seen you in the office. If they haven't seen you in 6 to 12 months, they're going to be less likely or eager to do that. But if they've just seen you, they're happy with your service, they're more than happy to give you a glowing report because of the service that they received.
Now, a lot of times these days, there are automatic text messages and emails that go out after people leave our office from an appointment. And those can contain a survey, ask how we did, and those can often be tied in straight to the review sites.
Well, as long as you ask permission first, because no matter what people say, it's important that you get permission before you can make that public. There is something else that, you know, I did want your listeners to know about. There is a site called Review Push. This provides monitoring with several sites, issuing email alerts to you and notifications for any speaking that people have online about you.
That's a very useful tool.
Yes, absolutely.
So if you're talking about social media, what's the number one mistake that people make with social media as far as in their medical or dental practice?
Well, it's important, first of all, to take a look at all of the sites and figure out from your demographics, you know, where your patients hang out. If you have a pediatric practice, you may want to be on Snapchat and Instagram. If it is an older crowd that you're dealing with, you may want to be on Facebook. So it's very important, obviously, to spend time on the site that your patients also are on. However, it is a mistake if that is all that you do, because every single social media channel allows you to put your profile on. So whether or not you're active on the site, having a stellar profile will drive traffic back to your website so they can learn more about you and contact you from there.
No doubt about it. I think you're right on target there. If you're not in the right place for people to hear you, you'll be talking to an empty hall. There'll be no audience.
Right. But also from every single other social media channel, putting a stellar profile on gives you that added boost in terms of strengthening your brand and boosting your reputation.
That's kind of what you do, is going into people's social media and upgrading and updating their profiles.
Absolutely. It's so important. It's important because people want to know not only your past, but your present, what you're doing, what you're providing, the kinds of solutions that you are providing for the problems that they're having or struggling with.
Mm-hmm. So I can see it now. You're basically putting a new face on the practice that shows in all the different directions. Like social media points, each medium is different. You know, Twitter has a different audience, and so does Instagram, so does Facebook. And so you put a different face on each of these media outlets so that it attracts the correct audience.
Yes, absolutely. And if you can add your personality to it and make it more engaging and entertaining, then you've got it beat.
Excellent. Well, I like that approach. You know, I like the personalization. I like the situation that you've described, where the personality of the practice, the owner of the practice, the doctor, really shines through, and people understand who they are before they meet them. I have a tenant in my marketing and my practice where I say, I want the patients to know me before they meet me. In other words, I want them to see who I am on social media and on my website and feel warm and fuzzy before they even walk in the door.
Absolutely. And what I recommend for your website is, besides getting to know you, especially if they've never been to the practice, it would be a great opportunity to have videos and images of each of your staff members, what their names are and what their roles are. So when they go to the office for the first time, they feel that they already know your staff and they're more comfortable.
Exactly that. I know a lot of patients will come in my office with that same thing going on. They know who we are because we're out there, we're visible, and we're not shy about talking and being on video in our practice. And it just brings a warmth to the whole atmosphere when new people come in. They don't feel like they're in a strange place.
Absolutely. And that's really so crucial when it comes to dentistry, because let's face it, Bill, the average person coming into a dental office is white knuckle scared and just seconds from running out the door.
That's the common perception that we're trying to break. So is the medical office got that same issue going on? Are they a little more relaxed going into a medical office? What do you think about the different populations of patients that come into dentists versus physicians?
Well, I think that all patients, regardless of what service that they're seeking, are nervous. They're worried about the news that they're going to get. They felt healthy going in, perhaps. They sure want to feel healthy going out as well.
No doubt. Yeah, the white coat syndrome strikes again.
That's true. And they don't really want to hear any judgment or criticism about the lifestyle choices that they've had. Just maybe some helpful advice on great lifestyle choices moving forward.
Yeah, no criticism. Rodney Dangerfield said something like this, you know, he went to the doctor to get a second opinion, and the doctor looked at him and said, "And you're ugly too." So, you know, Rodney, he always could take a compliment.
That's true. Actually, he always made me laugh. Just looking at him made me laugh.
So let's talk a little about the marketing funnel. I'm really interested in your take, being a more medical person. I'm a more dental person. What kind of a funnel do you like to create to audience the client base in to meet the doctor? What do you like to do to create the funnel happening? What are your tools?
Well, the first part of the funnel, you know, the widest part, which would be the, you know, most widely received, would be a tip sheet, a list. People love lists, or a question and answer of the most frequently asked questions. You know, every day, you know, the dentist or the doctor gets the same questions asked many times in the day, and they're answering the same the same questions and giving the same answers all day long. So wouldn't it be nice if that was on your website so that you could just refer patients there instead of saying the same things? But, you know, a lot of patients are seeking the same answers, and, you know, having that as an offering is something that's going to get people in.
You're right on track with that one, because we're filming right now a series of videos to put on our website with the common answers to FAQs.
And I think that'll be so well received. You're really spot on there, Bill.
And you can also give what other kind of lead magnets, these things that are going to open the funnel up are called lead magnets. So what other ones do you recommend?
Well, the next one that I would recommend would be an ebook or, you know, a regular book that you can provide them that reflects the types of services that you provide. It would be in sync with that.
And that's pretty novel, a physician or a dentist with its own book.
That's right. You know, the thing is, if there are five dentists on the same block who are basically providing the same services, the one that you're going to go to as a patient is the one that wrote the book, because they're the authority.
Yeah, that's the old term. I wrote the book on that. Or
exactly.
He wrote the book on that.
Exactly.
She wrote the book on that. That's the term we use for the expert.
Exactly. And of course, if you're going to have something done for you health-wise, a procedure, you want to go to the authority and the thought leader in the field.
Let me tell you a story. I have a book that I wrote that I got done in my office. It was a one-off book, so I only had one copy, right? And so it's on my consult table. And so I had this patient come in, and he read the book, and he saw that I was the author, and he looked at all the pictures, and he wanted a cosmetic makeover. And so he said, "Can I borrow the book? And I want to photocopy it. I want to copy myself." So he went down to Kinko's and made himself a photocopy of the book and brought it back.
Well, that was very nice of you. You could have said, you know, well, you could buy it.
Yeah, I didn't have a one copy, and it's my demo. You know, it's a sales tool.
Yeah, well, the thing is that you knew you only had one copy, but the patients don't know that.
Yeah, I should have probably ordered a ton of these books to give out.
And you could have. You could have said, well, you know, it'll be a while before you get it because it's out of print. So popular, we need to do a second run.
There you have it. So that's the FAQ, and that's the ebook. What's next?
The next would be an online course that you could give that would help instruct people on how they could better handle whatever problem it is that they need answers for.
You know, an online course really would do well. I'm thinking, you know, we do implant courses in our office. We do live courses in the evening for dental implants, and it's about 30 to 45 minutes. You could put that online and have it evergreen, and people could tune into it whenever they wanted to.
Absolutely. This way they know not only what the procedure is all about, but whether they are a candidate to have the procedure and what the possible side effects would be or what they would experience having it and what to expect.
And what about this medium here, the podcast?
I think podcasts are great. Just like webinars, it is another channel where you can educate the listener and get your meaning across.
Do you think that a medical physician or dentist would actually interview patients, or would they just do more of a monologue where they would talk about techniques and procedures?
No, I don't think that they would interview patients, because then you run the risk of patient information security or a violation of that. Rather, it would be information podcasts, like how-tos, or each podcast that was put out would be specifically catered to a particular condition.
Mm-hmm. And I guess finally, blogs are something that's very in the forefront of marketing.
Well, I think blogs are crucial, and for two reasons. Number one, a blog is a place that gives you an opportunity to tell your patients about any breaking news about new techniques or procedures, about new medical and dental devices, about the services that you provide. And it also is a place where your patients can enter comments and questions, and you could keep a whole conversation back and forth that many patients can contribute to, the same way that a forum or chat room would be.
So the comment section, talking about?
Yes, absolutely. But in addition to that, the search engines are seeing that the website is engaging to the audience at large. You know, if somebody puts up a website that's static and nothing is put on that website, you know, patients are going to say, hello, is this practice still in existence? Did the dentist or doctor move on or sell his practice and leave or retire? You know, what's with this? This is the same information on the website that I saw last month or 6 months ago, and nothing's changed. But if you have a blog attached to your website, every single blog is viewed by search engines as fresh content. So your website is no longer static, and it increases your search engine ranking and boosts your credibility and authority.
So you'd be an SEO king when you have blog content that turns over.
Absolutely.
Now, who would put that content out?
Well, you could have an editorial calendar where you put the information up as well as your staff members. But if you decide that you don't have the wherewithal or you just don't have the time, no worries, because you can outsource it. This way you just tell the person that is doing it for you what you need, and voila, it's applied to you and put on your site.
I bet the medical strategist might have some options and leads of where that could be done.
And you know, we'd be happy to do it for you. We have a done for you program. This way you get to keep doing what you do best and we do the rest.
That sounds wonderful. If you have the need for these kind of services for marketing your medical or dental practice, I know Barbara's got quite a reputation and she's been doing it for many years. So I'm glad that we can promote what you're doing and as well as talk about the techniques and tools that people can utilize in their office. So it's very, very exciting to find out that there's a professional with your background, not just somebody who really doesn't know medicine and dentistry. It's always a worry, I think, that the doctors have that the people writing the blogs for them won't be really up to date or they won't really understand it. It'll sound sophomoric. So it's good to have a real professional in the back that can really provide.
Well, that's so true. You know, I worked in the trenches with them, so I know what, and I speak their language. So I can bridge the gap between the doctors and the patients. Therefore, both sides will understand each other better.
Well, before we close out our podcast today, you know, I want you to tell me about this hobby you have about scuba diving. And where have you scuba dived that you really like the best? And what did you see down there?
You know, every place where I've been has had fish that or reefs that are specific to that area and no other place. My favorite, however, is the Galapagos. That is this place where Darwin formulated his theory of evolution. And you have a huge number of schools of big fish, different schools of varieties of sharks, and sea lions that are not afraid of people because they've never been prey to them. And they come up and they play with you like little puppies.
Wonderful. I've never been to the Galapagos. I would love to make that trip South America. My favorite was the Great Barrier Reef in Australia. I went and did a dive on the Whitsunday Islands and saw for the first time a Maori Rossi, which is a beautifully colored green fish. And it's huge, like 300 or 400 pounds. And then I went down and swam around with it and got my picture made. And so it was so incredible that I use that as my Facebook cover page now.
How wonderful.
Well, thanks so much for being on the podcast. The $10,000 a day dentist is really pleased, Barbara, to have your person of your caliber on the show. And tell us, what is your contact information if people want to get in touch with you and maybe do a consultation?
Well, for your listeners today, I would like to provide a free 30-minute consultation to talk to them about whatever marketing needs they have. You can reach me at themedicalstrategist.com/contact, and I'd be happy to speak to you.
All right. There you have it. Dr. Barbara Hales, the medical strategist on the $10,000 Day Dentist. I imagine she'll make you a $10,000 a day dentist a lot faster if you use her services versus if you didn't do anything at all.
Well, thank you so much for having me today, Bill.
All right. Y'all have a good week down there in Florida. You're down in Florida, right?
I am.
Mm-hmm. Have a good week down there, and we'll enjoy ourselves up here in Atlanta. Hope to see you on the road again.
Okay, thanks.
Bye, Barbara.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the 10K a Day Dentist podcast. If you enjoyed the show today, please subscribe, rate, and recommend on iTunes and your other listening or viewing services. Dr. Williams asks that you like and share the podcast with a friend. And if you want more great information, visit 10kway.com and check out the show notes for more great resources. Thanks again for listening. And don't forget, get your free copy of Dr. Williams' number one best-selling ebook, The $10,000 a Day Dentist, and other surprise bonuses at 10kway.com.